Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Product Chat. They do the Woo Podcast Show. This episode is brought to you by Kinsta, offering a high-performance hosting platform with managed WordPress hosting powered by Google Cloud, ensuring fast load times and robust security. I'll tell you more about Kinsta later in the episode, but for now, let's dive right in. Well, Bob WP here, and I'm actually barging in on James' show today because we decided to go a little bit of a different route. I'm not quite sure how this transpired, but we thought of a nice, good old WooCommerce community Q&A with James. James, how you doing?
Good, thanks, Bob. How are you?
Good, good, good. You ready for all these questions?
Yeah, I think so. I'll do my best.
Okay. Well, I want to dive right into it because I want to make sure we get as many of these covered. Now, a lot of these came, I think most of them did come on X. So he'd put a call out and said, hey, you're going to be on the show. You got a question for me. Well, our friend Rodolfo over at Business Bloomer, of course, he came in with several questions. So we thought we'd kick off with Rodolfo. And I might mention that he also wrote a post just very recently on his blog at Business Bloomer that probably touches on some of this stuff. So maybe some of this will actually be answered. Let's start with the first one. What's the ETA for including popular plugins into Core?
Yeah. So some context on Rodolfo's post actually is I announced on Friday, I think it was, that I've been made the product manager for Core of WooCommerce. So rather than just focusing on specific areas of WooCommerce, like previously I was looking at order management, the goal is now that I will be overseeing all of Core and just making sure that every team that's working on Core is aligned to some common vision. And as a response to that, Rodolfo created this post of things that he would like to see happen in Core. So yeah, I haven't read it yet. He's only just posted it just before this recording. So yeah, we will see if any of those questions are answered, but that's a bit of context there. So one of the initiatives that we announced earlier this year, I think, was our plan to roll some of our premium extensions just into the Core product for free. And we've actually seen that happen already. So in WooCommerce 9.4, we rolled the brands plugin into the Core product. So now you can create or you can assign brands to specific products. And it's the exact functionality of that premium plugin, but in Core now. So further to that is we need to properly scope out the order in which we're going to roll plugins in, but the goal is to be able to offer, to be able to make WooCommerce's Core product as usable as possible without having to extend for simple things. So some other products that you might see rolling into Core would be like min-max quantities, back in stock notifications, shipment tracking. We're actually working on that already. Import-export, we should see that coming in. And there's a few more, but those are the more immediate ones that we're looking at doing. And I will be leading that effort as well. So I'm going to be figuring out which order we do that in and probably posting that timeline publicly so that people are aware.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, I can see where it does one thing, it does it good, but it is a lot more focus. And just to let everybody know that he has also offered some links for each of these questions. So I'll be making sure and put those in the show notes, and I'll even make it easier for you. I will put the question in and then I will do what link refers to part of his answer. So it'll make it easier for you as a listener to go in. So his second question, now we're on number two with Rodolfo. What's the timeline for a new product editor?
Yeah, so for this one, I reached out to Bo, who's the head of engineering. I think he's been on the show before, right?
Yes, yeah. He wasn't on too long ago going over the future roadmap.
Yes, yeah. So I wanted to get his position on where the new product editor is. So essentially, the progress on that has been slowed down quite a lot. And I think the goal is to align a bit more with where Core is heading. We didn't want to diverge too much from what they were doing. And we found that there was sort of things that were lacking in Core WordPress that we knew were coming at some point that we wanted to utilize. So I would say that the new product editor currently is slowed down or paused. But what we are looking at doing is what kind of short-term improvements we can make to the existing product editor. So this might be like making it more visually appealing and in the same time, you know, making the user experience of the current editor more user-friendly. There may be some reorganization of the settings for a product and how they're presented just to make that existing flow really usable without necessarily diving into the kind of block editing experience that the new product editor bought. So Bo has said that we've got some folks embedded who are working out the APIs, design patterns, and UX needed for a great experience, and that they are expecting to come back to our own product editor work in the first half of 2025. And depending on what needs to change to match what we've just discussed, we'll have a better idea of timing at that point. So that's kind of a status update on that project.
Yeah, that's good, because I think, you know, you won't always have a direct answer, but at least there's a update and people can at least follow that a bit more and know what they can expect to come. Well, Rodolfo is still asking questions, like our dear Rodolfo always does. What's the status of the settings refactoring project?
So again, I approached Bo for this one. He said it's still considered experimental. And there's no specific timeline. As part of my role change that I mentioned earlier, looking at the settings experience is going to be part of that. So I would expect that you'll hear more about that. I would say probably early next year, we'll try and put a plan in place for that.
And I can picture Rodolfo at his computer and he's asking, where can we find the updated WooCommerce roadmap? So can you answer that one?
Yeah, so we do have a roadmap, which you can share a link to, but it's developer.woocommerce.com/roadmap. Bo has said it doesn't look like a traditional roadmap, so it's not like timeline-based, but more of an exploration of the vision of WooCommerce. And I think, actually, I'm just going to navigate to it so I don't make up anything. One of the goals of the developer blog at the moment is that we want basically anyone within WooCommerce, or, you know, hopefully we'll see a lot of the product managers doing this, but the idea is for us to all be posting to this kind of roadmap section about what we're working on, the status of things that we're working on, what's coming, and that kind of thing. So if you go there now, you'll see a few posts that are asking for feedback on specific things that we're planning to work on, like WooCommerce tags. And you'll see a lot of posts around stuff that isn't released yet and things that we're working on, but also new things that have come out. So it's not a traditional, like, in 5 months, we will release this. In 6 months, we'll do this. One of our developer advocates called Brent, and I don't know what his Twitter is, but Bob, you can post a...
Yeah, I will definitely do that. There will be a lot of show notes and links in this one.
Yes, for sure. So Brent has added some comments to this to say that we would ideally create a detailed public roadmap in the future. And I think that's something that I'll be helping a lot with over the coming months as well. He said he doesn't want it to just be dates and feature titles, but a roadmap with depth and community involvement, which is an interesting approach. So right now with the existing road, we're focusing a lot more on transparency about the work that is ongoing. And yeah, so the goal here is to be a bit more public with what we're working on. And I think a lot of people have seen that come to light over the past year or so, but also to provide ways for gathering feedback from the community, and whether that's developer community or merchant community. So you can do that via the developer blog, GitHub, we do office hours, and yeah, whatever means necessary to kind of get in touch with us. Maybe not whatever means, but
yeah, got to be careful there. But very cool. And I'll probably, as I do more on Do the Boo and stuff, in certain posts or if anything ever addresses things like this, if you want to make a comment on the blog, I'll always make sure it gets over to the Woo team and anything there that would be helpful. Now, the next and last question from Rodolfo. This is a question we get a lot on a lot of different shows. Any plans for bringing back WooConf? I know that I was lucky enough to go to, I think, all of them. I don't know how many there was. I don't know if it's like three or four of them. Might have been around that amount. But what, you know, I've heard different, you know, yeah, we'd love to bring it back, but I know there's also challenges around it and logistics and everything. So what's your answer on that one?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I've actually never been, even though I've been working with WooCommerce since its inception, essentially. But yeah, I think we're in need of a WooCommerce-themed event. We obviously have WooSesh, which is an awesome event, which just wrapped up recently, right? It was the end or middle of last month. That always goes down really well. And it's nice to have that kind of focused, you know, sessions being given about WooCommerce specifically. So we don't currently have any plans to bring back WooConf, but it is a sentiment internally that we would like to do that at some point. And maybe that would come back in an online form to start with. Something that Brent has said is we are kind of focusing a bit more on our events at the flagship events, so WordCamps, and we're doing partner day events and things like that. And if you recall, Bob, this year, Camp Europe, I arranged a meal for WooCommerce people, which was the first one we did. And I think they replicated that again at WordCamp US, which was nice.
Yeah, I did go to one at WordCamp US too. And yeah, we had lots of good pizza at the one you put together.
I think we occupied pretty much the whole venue there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the key thing is that we want to connect and be a bit more involved. And that setup, I think, was really nice to be able to connect with particularly developers of WooCommerce. So yeah, the short answer is nothing planned, but it would be good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's smart, you know, especially with the flagship WordCamps. And I don't want to say to piggyback on them, but to really pull those kind of specific events there and stuff, because, you know, the biggest challenge I think for WooConf is, you know, but do you do it three times, four times a year? Because when it becomes regional, you know, do it in the US, and what about the people in Asia? What about the people in Europe and stuff? So Rodolfo, thank you for all those questions. We're going to go to one from Carolina. I believe she's Carolina. I'm going to mess up her last name, but from Yoast. She is asking, what about the 2025 compatibility?
Yeah, this is a short one. And it's also touched on in another of the questions, which I think is from Jamie Madden. So yeah, currently there are some things that aren't quite supported, and it's something that we're working on. So testing and support is underway for that and planned to be, you know, fully compatible with 2025.
Yeah. And I don't know, why don't we pop down to Jamie's? Do you want to have me pop down?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
And we'll go back up. Now, Jamie Madden, you may know him on Twitter, and I love Jamie. He can be a little snarky sometimes, but he's great. His question was, when can we finally see a new default storefront theme that is from this century?
I mean, it's a fair question. He has a point. I think storefront, I'm not even sure how old it is, but I'm pretty sure it's been around for a long while, for, you know, almost the length that WooCommerce has existed.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's worked well, but yeah, it's before full site editing was a thing. It's before, you know, Gutenberg was a thing. So yeah, it's in need of some TLC. So earlier this year, we hired Ellen, who has worked in the WooCommerce theming space for quite some time. And again, Bob, you can link out to her previous themes. So we've hired Ellen to look specifically at theming for WooCommerce. And I reached out to her to kind of get an update on where we're at, specifically with a new default theme, whether that's storefront or not. So her feedback was that the project is currently just starting and she's working on a timeline, but she doesn't have one just yet. One thing she wanted to mention is that we develop a blog and another colleague will be hosting a live Zoom event for Woo Block Themes on December the 2nd. And they will be talking about the Woo starter theme there. So that's definitely one that you should tune into if you're interested in what's going to happen to default theming within WooCommerce. The other thing she said she's going to do is to write a post for the dev blog, as I mentioned earlier. This will probably go into the roadmap area on the developer blog. And she said she'd do that within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Right now, they're currently working on improvements for 2025. And the idea is that this is to kickstart our own Woo starter theme. So the goal here is not to replace Storefront, but rather build a more modern system with components, for example, patterns, that can be used with multiple themes. So instead of creating a theme that you install and activate, I think the goal is for WooCommerce to come bundled with patterns that you can implement into any theme. And those patterns would be for, you know, common sections that you would find on e-commerce sites. So it would have, you know, all the kind of hero patterns that you'd expect on an e-commerce homepage, and then other patterns that implement whatever WooCommerce blocks that we need to create or that already exist, so that the person creating the website has all the tools they need to build their website out of these blocks and patterns. Yeah, I think that's the status of it at the moment.
Yeah, very cool. Well, yeah, definitely I will put the link in for that webinar. And the next one comes from, I'm not sure, but the Twitter handle is Dry und Zeep, Zeepzig. So that's who this is coming from. But anyway, they asked, or him or her, can you address concerns about the auto renewal cancellation process?
Yeah, so initially I wasn't quite sure what they meant, but I dug in a bit further by asking them. The issue they faced is that in the WooCommerce marketplace, when they buy a premium plugin, there used to be a toggle that you could activate or deactivate to say whether that plugin auto-renewed at the end of its current period. And in an update, I'm not sure when, that was replaced with a kind of different process to do the same thing. So in the current instance of the marketplace, you can cancel your subscription, which essentially does the same thing as telling it not to auto-renew. But I think the confusion there was this person and some other people that fed back in the comments were concerned that cancelling their subscription would mean that the plugin would just instantly not work anymore, which isn't the case. So if you cancel your subscription, the plugin continues to work for, you know, the length of that initial term. At the point of when it would typically renew, you would just stop receiving updates and support at that point. But in the initial period, so it would be 12 months, you will continue to get updates and support even if your subscription is cancelled. So yeah, I think that's what they weren't aware of and wanted clearing up. And I think it's interesting that the terminology of cancelling your subscription might be confusing. So we'll try and implement some wording around that on the cancellation page that indicates that you won't just instantly lose access to everything.
So interesting stuff. Cool. Now, I'll also put in the Twitter handles on for these people that ask questions in case you want to go follow them, because you can see they're asking some very interesting questions. So they may ask more interesting questions on X. If you are looking for hosting via cloud servers for your client sites, consider checking out Kinsta. With their container technology, you are assured of no shared resources. Plus, you get global CDN, edge caching, and Cloudflare Enterprise for all your sites. It doesn't stop there, though. Auto backup, staging, plugin vulnerability alerts, and uptime monitoring comes with 24/7 support that you can expect from humans. Add to this, for agencies, look into their partner programs with some nice extras, plus an account manager and custom plans to meet the needs of your client's sites. All this and more, just head over to kinsta.com. From Patrick Gallagher, he asks, what's the highest traffic concurrent checkouts you've seen on WooCommerce?
Yeah, this was a tricky one to get hold of, mainly because I'm not sure that we are actively tracking that in any meaningful way. So on sites that we host, we can get a better idea of that. So for those sites, we have seen one particular site processing 10,000 renewals per hour for their subscriptions, as well as 30 orders per minute during sales. So that might be like Black Friday sales, which is quite impressive. 10,000 renewals per hour without slowing down the site is interesting. And another site is performing updates to their products in batches of 500,000, which again is an impressive stat. I can kind of recall in my past web development career, trying to update products can be a slow process. And actually that kind of leads into the next question.
Yeah. And I was just going to, a note on that real quick is one of the ones you were talking about, the renewals per hour. We actually had them on the podcast and they did talk about that and talked about performance and stuff. And I might link that in. And I think that once we get our, you know, I'm hoping to get a better AI search into the site. Others have been mentioned in other podcast shows, you know, especially from developers and agencies and stuff. So if I ever pull up some more of those stats, I'll share them with James and he can put it in the little safe where it's protected or whatever, wherever he puts that kind of stuff. So as he said, there is another question here from Frederico Reynoso. Reynoso? I'm going to say it that way. I'm sorry if I butchered your last name. When will the bulk product updates become easier?
Yeah, so this is one that I've seen discussed in my time since joining. There's no concrete plans yet, but it is something that we are aware needs to be implemented, particularly, and this is just from my experience of using WooCommerce, there are mechanisms to bulk update core products, so, you know, simple products, variable products, just using the WordPress tools that are built into bulk edit posts. It's not the nicest way to bulk edit products. The interface of that is at best, and it doesn't incorporate bulk editing variations. And just editing variations in general is not a particularly nice experience. So yeah, it's something that we're aware of and something that I will definitely be leaning into a bit more and looking at. One of the goals that we want to achieve is to make WooCommerce the best experience for merchants, but also the best experience for builders. And typically in the past, when I've built WooCommerce websites for clients, they will ask the builder to import like their initial list of products. So we want to make that process as easy as possible. And yeah, I mentioned earlier that one of the plugins we'll be rolling in is the CSV importer. So that will help in some way, but I would like to make the UI for editing products in bulk more user-friendly anyway.
So he goes on to ask another question. Why don't you use WooCommerce yourselves?
Yeah, so I actually followed up on that question because there's two ways to take it. I think I reworded the question as well. I think he said, why don't you use WooCommerce? So that could either be, why don't I use WooCommerce personally? But what he actually meant, and I think he clarified this, was why doesn't Woo use WooCommerce? And the answer to why doesn't Woo use WooCommerce is we do. So the WooCommerce marketplace is run using WooCommerce as its platform for licensing, for selling the extensions in the marketplace. The product pages are all, you know, WooCommerce, the checkouts, WooCommerce. And that's a massive site. There's tons of extensions. It's each extension is managed by a third party, so it's a multi-vendor marketplace. And yeah, it's huge. There's tons of products on there. There's tons of reviews. There's tons of orders that go through that site every day. And it's a kind of a really good case study for WooCommerce, actually. Me personally, I have started setting up some shops to use WooCommerce in different ways. So one of them is essentially a drop shipping site where I sell some of my photography prints, which is one of my hobbies. And the other one that I've not released yet, but I've started setting up, is a site to sell puzzle boxes. And these are like physical wooden puzzle boxes, which sometimes described as like an escape room in a box. And the goal with that one is for it to be a subscription service. So I'm going to use the subscriptions plugin. It has the gift cards plugin on there as well. So I'm actually getting to use a lot of these extensions that we're looking at, and we'll be able to experience using WooCommerce as a merchant. Prior to that, when I was running Iconic, which is a WooCommerce extensions company, so we just made extensions for WooCommerce. Just before I left there to join Woo, we actually transitioned the checkout and everything over to use WooCommerce. And then obviously prior to that, I built, you know, websites for our customers using WooCommerce. So me personally, I have quite a lot of experience building with WooCommerce. And I know it's highly encouraged for us internally to create and use WooCommerce, or just, you know, any products that Automattic owns. We want to see people using those products as end users.
Very cool. And you do need to visit his new store and check out his photography, because, yeah, there's some cool stuff there. Okay, so now the next question from our host of WooBizChat, Katie Keith. Many of you know Katie, and she brought in the S word. So she wants to know what Woo is doing to stay ahead of Shopify when they have such a big budget.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot to unpack with that question, and it's a tricky one to answer. I think, you know, with the changes that have come into play for me personally since last week, and also with the 2025 roadmap that was discussed with Bo, we should start to see a lot of how we're planning to stay relevant and to compete with all these other e-commerce platforms. And we should start to see like the idea of that formulate over the next few months. So like I said earlier, we really want to support users and businesses with specific needs, but also to support more heavily the developers and builders who are actually building the websites and make it as straightforward for them as possible to spin up a website without being treated as a brand new WooCommerce user. And I actually alluded to this on Twitter last week, or X, sorry, last week. And I asked the question, do you think that WooCommerce should have different experiences for builders versus merchants? And there was a mixed response. And I kind of further clarified that question by saying, what the concept I'm thinking about is, as a builder, when you set up WooCommerce, you don't want to go in and do the typical onboarding that a merchant might see, or someone that isn't familiar with WooCommerce. Typically, you have an idea of exactly what you need on your WooCommerce website, the settings that you need to configure, and you know what the base starting point for you is for any particular website. So what I'd like to look at is a way to configure like a file that you can import, or a CLI method that you can utilize to spin up a WooCommerce site with all of these settings pre-configured. And it would in turn skip the typical onboarding process. But also something I've been thinking about is how we utilize user roles. So we have a shop manager role, and typically a user role in WordPress is you're just kind of limiting stuff or battening down the hatches so that they can't modify any core settings and essentially break the shop. But what I think would be interesting is that the shop manager role is more tailored to shop managers, and not just limiting stuff, but making the experience for them more meaningful and more useful. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we want to do. I think the other thing that we've seen kind of coming into play is being a lot more open with what we're working on. You know, WooCommerce is an open source plugin at its core, whereas, you know, something like Shopify is locked down and they decide the direction. So that's something that we're focusing on, just allowing the community to have a voice on what's useful for them. And that's prevalent with Rodolfo's post that he's put out earlier today. And just to say, we're listening. I'm ready to take that feedback from the community and make it more actionable. Something else I'll be doing is speaking directly with merchants and like high volume merchants that are using WooCommerce every day, because that the experience of being a merchant using WooCommerce is a lot different to a builder using WooCommerce. You know, they're in there that their goal is to manage orders, essentially. That's what you'd expect them to be doing most days. So yeah, I think the short of it is we should see a lot more clarity and focus in 2025 with what our goals are, and making that a bit more visible to people outside of the organization.
Very cool. Very cool. And we have one more question. I don't really have anything to add to that, but it's, yeah, I do like the idea of using user roles and stuff. I know that we just did a bunch of stuff here on Do the Woo and giving certain people certain permissions and some custom permissions to do things. So it's pretty cool. And yeah, thank you, Katie. You know, you sometime you and James can come on and hash it out and have a fun conversation. Hey, maybe we'll throw Rodolfo in there and the three of you. We'll wait a while on that. We'll give James a break, though. Last question from Tommaso. Why is it still not possible to hide paid shipping if the shopper qualifies for free shipping? It's such a common scenario.
Yeah, it's something I've seen mentioned before, actually. Also, I like the mix of questions we've had here. Kind of like high-level questions and some very specific. This I would class as a very specific question. I think we should be able to do that. I think one caveat that I noted in my comments is the merchant may not always want to hide the other shipping methods when free shipping becomes available. And the examples I gave there is maybe free shipping is like the basic shipping and it takes, you know, 3 to 4 days, but you might want to upsell express shipping or next day shipping. But yeah, I think it should be possible for the merchant to decide that. So that would just look like a setting when you're configuring free shipping, for you to say, if free shipping is available, don't show any other methods. I think that makes sense to be a setting. So yeah, definitely something I will look into for sure. And it kind of, Brent's left some comments here as well, that it highlights why we're expanding WooCommerce Core and rolling this kind of level of functionality into Core by default, because there's so many different use cases for how people use WooCommerce. And, you know, shipping is a highly important part of the e-commerce experience.
Alrighty. And Tommaso did ask one other question about the product editor, but that was answered in Rodolfo's question. But thank you, everyone, for doing these. And if you did ask a question and didn't get on this one, more than likely is James is still finding the answer or finding a good answer for you. And yeah, hopefully we can maybe do this off and on, put some questions out. These are really good questions. And if you want to add to any of these, do go in to the post and leave comments. Or if you have a question underlying what James said, you might want to leave that there as well. I don't want to get too much stuff piled on James' calendar. But if there's any feedback, or if you just have a comment about it, I would love to hear that. And I'm sure that would help James even understand more and be able to take some of that back to the team. And again, public congrats on the new position at Woo, James. Yeah, pretty exciting. And I think there's a lot of people excited that you are stepping into that spot, because you've been doing, even previous to joining WooCommerce, you did an amazing thing for the community. And looking forward to your being part of this show and bringing in some of the stuff directly from Woo, which I know makes people just feel better and they feel like they're being listened to. So that's great.
Yeah, I mean, they are being listened to. So yeah, I'd quite like to do this format more regularly. I think it's a good opportunity to ask questions and to get, you know, the genuine answers for those questions. I don't know if I'd do it live. I think it's nice for me to be able to go out and explore what the answers are for those questions. Like, you know, I don't know everything.
Yeah.
I have to ask people. So it's nice to have this list of questions that I can go and find answers for. And maybe we can make it, you know, have an official way of asking a question that we can then build up a list to put into an episode like this.
And we can also have people leave an audio question and we could actually play their question during the podcast. So there's some options there. So this has been a great job. And yeah, let's do this more for sure.
Yeah, thanks for jumping in as the MC.
All right, no problem. Hey, you can count on me for that. I can ask the questions. Now answering them, that's a question. Well, everyone, thanks again. Do make sure and follow James on Twitter and I guess I should call it X. And also, yeah, do leave a comment or if you have anything to say about what was talked about, do go to the post and let us know. And if you're on the Fediverse and you see this on Mastodon, you can, of course, reply to it there and that'll come in as comments on the blog as well. Have a great conversation. So thank you all and thank you so much, James.
Thank you.